do my tissue.
It's a family tradition. Why stop now?
No. Praise the Lord. Sounds a little loud, Chris. Thank you. Did you enjoy that little time of worship with Esther? You know, I smiled. I just was in tears as Esther was worshiping the Lord. Just like by herself, and there's no one else there. And it reminded me, and Russell will remember, and I'm sure Janine probably remembers too. At another time in another place called Seaford, we took a church on that had about 15 or 16 people in it, and over about 18 months built up to 200. The people traveled from Tullamarine and all up this end of town, just all came down, and the place was chock-a-block. We bought a building, and you know, just God did wonderful things. But there was a girl in that church. When I say girl, I mean 20, I'm thinking of Elaine. She was in her early 20s, but she just worshipped God in dance. The only difficulty was she was like a barrage balloon. She was a big girl. Elizabeth had to make her a graceful girl skirt, and she didn't care. She just worshipped God. And almost every service, she'd be out and up and down the front, and you know, some people were tittering and laughing at her, but she was having a time with God. And we've got to be like that. It's just you and God. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Praise the Lord. All right, we want to talk to you today and about how we can deal with the storms of life. Has anybody never had a storm? I'm sure we all have had storms at some time or other. And, you know, all of you, plus the hundreds of people who get these messages around the world, have all experienced storms of some kind in their life. I was reading an article yesterday, and I shared a little bit of it with Elizabeth, and I found it interesting to read, not that it was anything really spiritual, but it was just something. It was about a 17-year-old girl who was traveling in an airplane with her mother and 90 other people in Peru, and the lightning struck the airplane, and it exploded. So the plane just disintegrated, and this 17-year-old girl, still strapped in her seat, found herself falling out of the sky for 3 kilometers. In Peru, it happened over the rainforest, and so her seat with the girl still strapped in it eventually fell into the canopy of the rainforest, and that canopy of leaves and branches sort of cushioned her fall. It's a long story, and I won't go into it all, but she ended up having a gash in her arm, and I think she'd hurt her leg, and she lost her glasses, and she was wearing a summer mini dress, and it was Christmas Eve in 1971 when this happened. I wrote her name down, and if I can pronounce it, let me see if I can find it. I put it down here somewhere. Her name was, can't find it. Oh, yes, Juliane, Juliane Kopoke, Kopoke. She made it eventually after almost 2 weeks out of the rainforest. Her father, who was a German man and had worked in the rainforest, he had told her as a child that if she ever got lost, to find a stream. When she found a stream, then follow the stream, it would take her to a river. And if she'd follow the river, it would take her to some sort of settlement. And so she remembered and made her way through, ignored the snakes and the spiders and all the rest of it. And eventually she found a little boat on the side of the river, and near the boat on the side of the river there was a little hut, and in the hut she found a barrel of diesel oil, obviously for the motor of the boat. And she again remembered her father had told her at some stage that diesel would clean things, and so she put some diesel oil on the cut, which had become infected, and all the maggots came out of it, and she wiped them away, and eventually she got saved, and she'd been 10 or 12 days without food. The story goes on to say that a film has been made about her experience, and the name of the film is Miracles Still Happen. She discovered that when the plane blew up, her mother also somehow or other made it to the ground and was saved at that point, but died several days later in hospital, and no one else on the plane got saved. Interesting story, and I guess it'd probably be an interesting film if you're interested in survival and all of that. If you're a Bear Grylls type person, that would be an interesting movie to see. But regarding you and me, over the last 54 years we've been married, we've faced a lot of storms. Most of you know my story, that I was involved in a motor accident in 1967. I had my leg smashed up, spent 14 months in hospital, 14 surgeries. You've heard the story so many times. Elizabeth looked after me when I got out of hospital for 3 years. For 3 years, we had no income. I was unable to work. Our car was repossessed. We had some storms to face. We had, at that time, we had two little children, this one here who's now grown, and Ian, whom you've met several times, were just really babies. I didn't see Ian start to walk, things like that. You know, lots of those kind of family things. But as I said, the finance company repossessed her car, and then just 19 years ago, Elizabeth had a brain aneurysm, and as a result of that, she's had some problems off and on. And when too many people tend to crowd around her or try to talk to her all at once, it seems to trigger something in her brain. And so for the past 19 years, I've been sort of caring for her and looking after her. And here we are today because we've discovered God's word works. It doesn't matter what the storm is. And when I'm sharing this with you today, I'm preaching to us as much as I'm talking to you, because I've discovered this works. I'm going to give you some keys. As I thought about it, I thought, what is a storm? Well, a storm, is it a test? Is it a challenge? Is it an obstacle? Well, yes, it is. It's all of those things, but it's much, much more than all of those. And you'll never, ever understand what a storm is until you're in one, until you're actually in that storm, because it's in the midst of that storm you come to the place where you begin to realize what you really believe and who you really trust. You come to that place where the victory is there, but the victory is on the other side of the storm. God has promised us victory, but it's on the, you got to get through the storm to get to the victory. The victory is already yours. It's been bought and paid for, but we've got to press through until we get to that place. Let me read some scripture to you this morning. I haven't asked Cassandra to put these up because I'd like you to note them yourself and perhaps read them in your own Bible, or get the CD next week and listen to it all over again, which I recommend you do. Listen to this, Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Any righteous people here? Okay. Now listen to the Passion. We've recently been reading I've been reading the Passion on my phone and on my computer and so forth. The Passion, Psalm 34, 19. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. I mean, some of these things are just so tremendous. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. John 16 and 33 in the Amplified says, I have told you these things, Jesus said, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. One more. Psalm 23, verse 4, 5, and 6. Yea, though I walk through, good word, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I wonder if you've ever thought about it. Can a shadow harm you? Can the shadow of a big, fierce dog bite you? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let me say this, and this is a word for somebody apart from this immediate family here this morning. Here's a word for somebody. You can beat the storm no matter what the devil's telling you. Doesn't matter what he's telling you, because he'll tell you weird stuff. The storms of life happen to all of us, and sometimes they happen very unexpectedly. We don't understand sometimes when they come. But when the storm does come, let me tell you this. What you allow to happen in you determines what's going to happen to you. Try over here, it might work better. What you allow to happen in you determines what's going to happen to you. We have to come to that place where we're just taking God's word on these things. Isaiah 43 and verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. That's a wonderful promise from God. And many people in the Bible proved it to be right. You think about the young men in the fiery furnace. But what I want you to notice about that verse, I think there's something very significant. He says, when you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire. Did you ever think about this? It doesn't say if, it says when. It's not, there's an outside possibility that some of these things might happen. They will happen. But when they happen, God says, I'm going to be with you. I'll see you through. I'll get you to the other side. These things happen, but it's what you do now to prepare for them that's going to take you through to the victory on the other side. We have to spend time in this book. And it's not enough for you to hear me or Russell or Naomi or Ulu or whoever preach it and teach it. And if you weren't here on Thursday night, you missed a great time with Naomi. It's not enough to do that. You've got to get into this for yourself. Think about it like this. Say you have a headache, and you know that if you take a Panadol or a Dispirin or an Aspirin or whatever, if you take that, it should clear up the headache. You could come to me and say, oh, Dr. Norm, I've got this headache. Would you take a Panadol for me? You've got to take it for yourself. Dr. Norm, I got this problem. Could you meditate in the Word for me? You got to do it for yourself. We can tell you what to do, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to spend the time in it. You're going to have to make the time available, make the effort to do it, and it takes time. Listen to another scripture here this morning. What should you do at the first sign of a storm? Can I give you the answer? Heed the warning. Heed the warning. Chris up the back and Mark over here have been involved with the CFA, the fire service. My dad was a part-time fireman in Ireland, and I'm sure Janine probably remembers this, when she was just a little, you know, 2, 3, or 4 years old. We'd go out to my family home, take the children out there, and my dad would hardly go anywhere from home just in case the fire siren went. I mean, the loud sound, there's a fire somewhere. And he couldn't go away for a day just in case. And if that horn or that siren went off, he'd pull his bicycle out of the store and jump on it, and away he went pedaling up the street to go to the fire station and jump on the truck and go and deal with the fire. I'm talking way back in the, maybe I shouldn't say that. We're talking in the 60s here. What am I saying that for? I'm saying he was ready and he heeded the warning. If we will heed the warnings, because sometimes your body will give you a warning that something is happening. Listen to Matthew 6 and 34 in the Message Bible. Matthew 6, 34 Message. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about it, about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Now listen to that again, because see, some of you need to hear these things this morning. And every time I'm doing that, remember there's three of them pointing back at me. I'm talking to myself. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So we have to be prepared. Be ready. You be prepared by spending time in the Word. I put out a teaching manual 20 years ago, I guess, on prayer. And a number of people around the world have got that, and it's been the basis of many prayer studies, and churches have used it as the basis of a prayer study. But one of the things I say in that manual, and we still have a facility to print them again, prayer and preparation always precede the pouring out of God's power. I'm going to say it again. Prayer and preparation always precede or go before the pouring out of God's power. So whatever it is that you need to be prepared. You pray about it. You prepare by reading the Word, making time in the Word. And then the power of God will begin to be poured out. Because the gospel is the power of God. Romans 1:16 tells us, unto salvation to everyone who believes. In Ephesians 5:15 to 17, Paul says this, see then that you walk circumspectly. That's a big word. Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as the wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't know if you understand that you are living in an evil day. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To walk circumspectly just simply means to be watchful, to be discreet, to be cautious, to be prudent, to be aware of what's going on, to have your spiritual eyes and ears open. So we need to spend time. be spiritually prepared. You do that by spending time in the Word. And let me read a scripture to you this morning. I hadn't put this one in, but it's just come to mind. In Proverbs chapter 4, you'll know it because we've used it often. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it says this, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes." I'm going to read it again to you. "My son," or "my child, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes." See, you still haven't got this. "Attend to my words. Incline your ear." You have to hear it. Faith comes by hearing. Okay? "Let them not depart from your eyes." It's not enough just to hear it. You have to read it. I think it was Kenneth Copeland gave the illustration. He had had something happen in his body, and he prayed about it. And this is what God said to him in his prayer time. Something to this effect. And I'm trying to remember Copeland's words. He said, God said to him, "Kenneth, you like potatoes?" And yes, I like potatoes. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "The memory of the potato doesn't satisfy you. You have to eat the potato, taste it, put your salt or your butter or whatever you put on it. The memory of it." See, and a lot of people are saying, "Thank you, Father. I remember Dr. Norm preached that message and he said, 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes that went in the back of Jesus, you were healed." Well, quoting it from memory isn't going to heal you. You have to get it in here. Out of the abundance of the... So you got to get it into your heart. So that's getting prepared. We're walking circumspectly. We're spiritually prepared because we're in this close relationship with God and with His Word. Next thing I put down here is, don't lose your peace. Now we're talking about storms, the storms, when the storms come. Don't lose your peace. See, in spite of what the doctor's report might be, in spite of what the bank report might be, in spite of what the news report might be, you need to concentrate on what God's report is. Because it's the truth. And then it's the truth that sets you free. So you need to remain calm in spite of the report. I was reading a few days ago some things about Smith Wigglesworth. How many of you have heard of Smith Wigglesworth? What a great man of God. He was a plumber, I believe. And there are so many stories about the things that he did and in the anointing of God. But this was one little story that I liked. And this is recorded in one of his books. He said that one night he and his wife, Polly, were asleep. And a demonic storm came up. He says, "We were sleeping one night when the manifestation of evil filled the room and the spirit of fear gripped both of us. Polly was so frightened she could not even open her eyes. I suddenly sat up in bed," he said, "and I saw the devil. I rubbed my eyes to make sure it really was him. And I looked and said, 'Oh, it's only you.' And then I turned to Polly and told her to go back to sleep. It was nothing of any consequence. And so I laid my head back down again. And suddenly an overwhelming sense of peace and love filled the room. And we had the most blessed sleep ever." See, you treat the devil with the contempt that he deserves. See, in the middle of these storms, you need to know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, and if you look in a red letter edition of the Bible, you'll see it's in red because of the words that he spoke. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If God can do that for Smith Wigglesworth and his wife Polly in the middle of the night, he can do it for you. Wherever you are, whenever, no matter what time it is. And I want you to understand this morning that God is not wringing his hands on the throne saying, "Oh, it's terrible. Look what's happening to that person down in South Morang there this morning." He already knows the answer. He's already made provision for the answer. And he made the answer available because Jesus took whatever your storm is, he took it at Calvary for you so you don't have to think about it. It's already been taken and dealt with. Are you listening, Norman? Yes, I'm listening. What about you? Are you listening? Elizabeth's listening. See, it's already been taken and dealt with. You need to realize that God is your refuge. Psalm 46, verse 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. God is my refuge and strength. Here's another good scripture for you this morning. These are ones that you need to make note of and think about every day, especially if you're going through some kind of storm. Isaiah 41:10, or Isaiah as they say in the U.S., in the Message Bible. Listen to this. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady because I've got a firm grip on you. All right, you got that? I'm going to say it again. I'm just going to preach it at Elizabeth, okay? Isaiah 41:10 in the Message. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear. I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. And I've got a firm grip on you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. See, even in the midst of your personal storm, God still has you in the hollow of his hand. He'll not let anything happen to you. He'll not let the devil have his way, because the devil has already been defeated. He's already overrun. This is the reason, 1 John 3:8 says, this is the reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil has already been defeated. You see, what the devil is trying to do is to send the storms to wear you down, to get you to the place where you give up on the Word of God. But if you don't let the storm wear you down, then you won't give up. You'll keep on holding on to the Word of God. You get a hold of, as you know, some people say, get a hold of the altar and not let go. You're taking, this is the truth. You're going to stay in there. We're going to keep fighting. We're not going to give up. We're going to come through to the end. We're not going to quit. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we hang on tight. We're not going to let him win this battle. Let me give you another one. The storm can cause you to lose your sense of direction. I've forgotten how many times I've heard this lady say this to me. And I don't know about any of the rest of you ladies, okay? I can only talk about the one I'm married to. She often said this, that once she had children, she lost her sense of direction. Now, I don't understand that. I'm a man. I don't. That's womanese to me, okay? So I don't understand it. But I can remember one time when we were in America. We were in the airport in Los Angeles, and we're waiting for a plane, and she says, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. She says, come you and stand outside the ladies' bathroom. You wait there until I come out, because if I come out and you're not there, I'll be lost. So I'm standing by the ladies' bathroom. You know, and all these ladies are going out and in, and here's this man standing by the bathroom door. No sign of Elizabeth. I'm standing. No sign of Elizabeth. I'm about to go in to look for her when suddenly she does come out. I said, what happened? She said, I went out the door. It was the wrong door, and I ended up in a bar with a whole lot of men. You had to turn around and reverse and come back out again. See, the storms can cause you to lose your direction. How many of you, when you were children? Let's think this morning. I can remember as a child, you know, I'm talking now when I'm 5, 6, 7 years old. I had a neighbor, and his name was John Headley. I remember that. He was a young boy about my age. And my immediate next door neighbor was a young boy called Peter Barlow. And we used to get in the garden and we'd play spinning tops. We'd spin around and around and around. And you'd spin around so long you get dizzy and you're walking all over the place, you know, just ready to fall on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Like a drunken man. You lose your sense of direction. That used to be a game we'd play as a kid, and I'm sure maybe some of you others have done that too. You didn't know which direction you're going in. You'd had a big, long drink of some sort of alcohol, and you were completely lost. Listen to this. Proverbs 11:14 in the Message. Proverbs 11:14 Message. Without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better are your chances. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The New American Standard Bible for that verse says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, stop looking at the storm And start looking at the answers. Start looking at the Word. Start seeing what God says about it. Now we've got another one to go. The storm can cause you to think failure instead of thinking victory. You get disoriented and you become more conscious of the storm and what's happening around you. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." They're in the boat, and on the way over, there's a storm comes up, and this little fishing boat is getting tossed around, just like a cork, I guess. But Jesus is sleeping on a pillow, it says, at the end of the boat. Now, he's asleep. The boat's getting tossed around. I don't know if you understand what that says. He is already said, "Let us go to the other side." He has no concept of anything else other than going to the other side. And he sleeps. He's at peace about that. He's made a decision. That's where I'm going. That's where we're going to be. And so he's sleeping. Verse 38 says this: the disciples, who are seasoned, mostly seasoned fishermen, are suddenly aware of the storm. And so they waken him up and they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Think about that for a moment. I mean, they're in the boat. They're with Jesus. They've seen him do all these miracles. And there's an absolute failure of them to recognize his ability to get them to the other side and the fact that he's already said, "We're going." You see, sometimes we're like that. A storm comes in and the storm affects us and it causes us to think failure instead of victory. We start thinking about all the terrible things. See, letting the storm cause you to think failure instead of thinking victory is a problem with a lot of people, because you're more conscious of what's happening around about you than he who is in you. He's in the boat with you. God's not going to leave you halfway. He's going to get you to the other side. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now listen to me. Your attitude to what he says is going to make you or break you. It's going to make you or break you. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, chapter 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." Life is a choice. So you choose life, that you and your descendants may live. And let me try and wind up. The last thing I really want you to remember is this: storm won't last. I heard a gospel song a few years ago, and I didn't particularly like all the song, but one of the lines in the song was this: "It won't rain always, the sun will shine again." How many of you have ever heard of the stage show called Annie? In the stage show Annie, it says, "The sun will come out tomorrow." There's always going to be a brighter day. The storm isn't going to last. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and 18 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." That means that your body is aching and it's painful, and you realize that your physical body is getting older. It ages. But inside, your spirit is brand spanking new. It's just like Jesus. "Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen or you're experiencing physically right now are temporary, but these spiritual things are eternal." I don't know if you have ever thought much about your brain. You know, it's just a bundle of gray and white matter. I don't really even know much about it. We need Margaret here, Margaret the nurse, to start to explain it to us, what it's all about. But I'm told it weighs about 1.5 kilo or 2 to 3 pounds. But it's so incredible that only God really knows how he made it and how it works. Nobody else can figure it out. But the thing about it is this: when God made you as a human being, he made your brain superior and distinct to all other living creatures. And one way it's superior is this: that it has a consciousness or an awareness of its existence. I've done a little bit of reading up on it. But I was thinking about this, and I'd shared these thoughts with Elizabeth, and then we were watching one of the preachers on TV earlier this week, and he made a statement. I said, "That's exactly what I put down in my notes that I'm going to share on Sunday morning." And what he said was this: just like every day, this is an assumption on my part. Just like every day you go in the shower and you wash your body to keep your body clean and healthy, you need to take this gray matter and put it through the washing of the water by the word, Ephesians chapter 5 says, to get rid of the pollutants, And all the things that are coming in day by day by day. Oh, did you see in the newspaper? Did you hear on the news? So-and-so did this. Donald Trump, what? You got to take it out, wash it with the word, get it clean, thinking good thoughts, thinking Bible thoughts. No matter what storm the devil is throwing at you today, don't let him take you away from the word, because that's where your answer is. Now, if you were here Thursday, you would have heard Naomi say this. If you weren't here, you missed a really good session, and eventually there'll be a CD from it. But Naomi made a statement, and this is the statement. I wrote it down. You can't sit down and stand up at the same time. I'm going to say it again. You can't sit down and stand up at the same time. You have to stand against the enemy, but you can't sit down and accept what he does and stand up at the same time. It's one or the other. You're either going to stand against the enemy, you're going to stand against the storm, you're going to stand and say, that's it, I'm not going to accept this devil. It's one or the other. Life is a choice. God says, choose life. Let me give you a couple more scriptures and then I'm through. Psalm 29, 10 and 11 in the New Living Testament. Remember, we're talking about storms and floods and so forth. It says this in the New Living. It says, the Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. The Amplified says, cares about you watchfully. Now let me give you one last scripture, and this is one you need to note. Write it down, pin it on your fridge, carry it about with you forever until Jesus comes. Romans 8, 37 to 39 in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors and has demonstrated his love in our glorious victory over everything. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate me from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that can ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which he lavished upon us and through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Now that's one that you need to know and remember and write down. And here's my last word for you this morning. My time is gone. See, I think, this is Norman, there are four D's that you need to remember. You need to write them down. The first one is this. Defeat comes from looking back. Distraction comes from looking around. Discouragement comes from looking down. But deliverance comes from looking up. Four D's. Choice. Defeat, distraction, discouragement, or deliverance. Hallelujah. Now, did you follow what I'm getting at this morning? As I told you, I'm preaching to Elizabeth and me, even if no one else is listening. We're winning. We're winning the battle. Because it's already won. We're just now going in. And when God told the children of Israel to go in and take to possess the land, he'd already given it to them. They just had to possess it. He's already given you everything you need. All you have to do is possess it. Can you do that today? So let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for your word. I thank you for the time we spend in this word. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the truth, because it's only the truth that sets us free. It's not the psychology. It's not what other people say. It's what you say. Your word is the truth, and the truth sets us free. So Father, I declare and decree before you and before this people this morning that we will take this word, we will obey this word, we will do what this word says, and we will have what it says in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Russell, you want to come finish for us?